World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. For those of you who are looking on Phil TV right now, behind me you see the St. Elmo's bar menu. St. Elmo's Steakhouse is in Indianapolis, and I don't know how we got on this, but, well, we were talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is a great steakhouse, but St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, Indiana, is probably the best steakhouse. Don't tell Ted I said this, although he's probably listening right now. He'll probably call in and rip me a new one. What are you doing, bud?
He's looking at him. He's going to the phone.
I'm just going to call the weather.
No, you're not. You're going to call Ted up, aren't you?
Man, what a low thing to do, man.
I just want to know what time it is.
There's the time right there.
Yeah, you know what's right.
You're calling Ted.
No. No.
Yeah, you are. I don't care. Go ahead. Ted knows. He knows. Ted's not stupid. He knows St. Elmo's goes back to the 30s, man. I mean, this place is the... Oh, baby. And there is the menu. That's the bar menu. I haven't even given you the menu I was just checking out, which is their main menu, has every kind of steak, every kind of seafood, all kinds of delicious chops and chickens. And these cats aren't advertisers. I'm just telling you, this is a great old place. Now, there was a picture on the homepage there. I don't know if you saw that or not, but it was a picture of the restaurant in the 30s. And I was saying to the audience during the break, I said, you know, I discovered this place with my close personal friend, Tori Ryder, who's a broadcasting colleague. And,
and she was your girlfriend.
Okay, but what do you have to...
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, you should say.
Well, what is this, truth in lending? Or why do people have to know that?
Well, doesn't her husband know?
Yes, he knows that she was my girlfriend at the time. Would you...
Phil, I think the audience needs to know these things so that everything is up front and there are no secrets and people feel comfortable with what you're doing to them and...
With what I'm doing to them? I mean...
Well, Phil, I think that, as you said, it's truth in lending.
Truth in lending what? I'm not lending money.
No, you're not lending money, but it's... So this was a young lady that... So you were traveling, not married. Were you sleeping with her?
That's none of your business, and the discussion is over as far as who I was traveling with. Do you understand?
Oh, get him.
Yeah, you're getting all upset about it.
I only wanted to know, because this could color your opinion of this St. Elmo Steakhouse. Did she like it?
Yes, she did like it.
Well, it could very well be that you like it, too, because she was...
Oh, I see. Because she was doing things for me sexually, I'm going to have to like the... I gotta like the steakhouse she likes.
Go ahead and laugh, Phil. It doesn't matter.
Your voice cracked there.
What?
You went, go ahead and laugh, Phil.
Yeah, you did, Miss Gray.
Isn't that nice? Do you enjoy humiliating me? Do you enjoy walking up behind me and pulling my gym shorts down?
Miss Gray.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, God. I got a lady, by the way. Speaking of that, Margaret, you'll be happy to know. A woman. Hello?
I'm in the bathroom.
A woman on Facebook posted a comment, and she said, Mr. Hendry, I really enjoy your show, but the women on your show represent the very... You must have issues with women. She said, you must have some serious issues with women because the women on your show represent low class, they belch, you have the worst kind of women on your show. And I said, I don't have any issue. I don't have any issues with women beyond any issues that the average man has with women, whatever those may be, you know, and...
Yeah, and then she goes, click.
I wasn't talking on the phone with her.
Oh.
She thought it's on Facebook, man.
Oh.
And I said to her, no, I have no issues with women beyond the normal ones. I said I had a mother... And any man that had a mother, which is all of us, is going to have some sort of view of women based upon his experience with his mother.
Yeah, and then you then click.
I wasn't on the phone with her, buddy. You listening to me?
Why do you keep saying click?
Because she hung up on him.
I wasn't on the phone with her, man.
You wasn't on the phone, man. It was on Facebook.
Oh.
I'm back because I can hear Bud... You really, Bud, if anybody could cut short a good pee, you're the one.
What are you doing here?
I cut short urinating to get back in here.
No, Margaret, go back and finish whatever it is you're doing.
No, because you're giving that woman the excuse now to post another comment saying that I'm a slob and a pig, which is what she's saying.
Essentially, yeah. She said that, but it was all my fault. She wasn't blaming you. It was all my fault for having you on the show. And
so that means that my son, Jason J. Delmonico, will have issues with women because of me, according to this woman that was commenting on your website.
Exactly.
And then what? Click.
Margaret, are you listening?
I'm sorry.
Who hit the table?
I did.
Everybody just back off and relax, okay?
Yeah, man, everybody's not like all going freaking out.
I'm sorry, I thought you were on the phone with her.
I was on Facebook. Facebook with her.
All right, Phil.
Then you didn't go click.
How am I going to go click, man? No, I didn't go click. I'm on Facebook. I wasn't on the phone. God. So this woman I responded to, and what happened was the following thing that often happens. People who are on the page, you know, are there because they're fans of the show. Why would you be on that page if you weren't? But it wasn't that anybody ganged up on her, but some people said, well, look, you know, whether you know this or not, ma'am, you're acting just like a lot of those women on that show, and they, you know, they mentioned you.
No, wait, hold on for a minute. So this woman that was saying the women on the show are pigs reminded other women of me.
Yes.
You've got some really confused list. I would love to meet the women that listen to your program. They must take handfuls of medication every morning.
Why would you say that?
Are you serious? Did you hear what you just said? Oh, hi. You remind me of the women on your show are pigs. Well, you remind us of the women on that show that you think are pigs. Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, no, nobody said thank you. You're welcome. But yeah, that's essentially what the conversation was. And I nobody said that the lady was a pig, but they said that you were acting exactly like the very women that you say you don't like.
And people were following this.
You know, I can't follow a head or tail out of this, Phil. And I'm so grateful I had the career that I had in the United States Army, because if something presented itself...
All right, General...
No, I'm going to finish this. If something presented itself as effed up and jacked over and jive-assed as what you're saying, I would be able to release the safety on my sidearm, and I think you know the rest.
Blow your own brains out?
That's an option, yes, sir.
God, General, I'd be bitching. That'd be like what Hitler done.
I beg your pardon.
Hold on for a minute, General. You would be able to kill... I think what's going on here is there's a bit of hyperbole, and I don't think anybody means anything they're saying here.
No, I mean entirely what I... If I had some woman on my website page, fan page website, or whatever you call that garbage, God almighty, if it was me, I would take the computer and I'd throw it off a cliff. The highest, most windswept cliff I could find. Because the thing, I think people are...
Here, General, here's a napkin.
What for?
You need to blow your nose or cry?
I'm not crying.
All right. The internet experience, there's no question, General, is real strange, and you do meet some pretty whack people, but they probably think I'm whack, so...
And what do you mean, whack?
I mean nuts. So... Behind me there, all I wanted to do was just give kudos to a great place, because we discovered this place traveling from Minneapolis to Miami, stopped in Indianapolis, checked in at that Embassy Suites, asked the guy, is there a good restaurant, because we were starved. He says, you better believe it, right down the street and hang a right. I think we walked, and there it was, St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I went in there with the checkered tablecloths and the sports memorabilia on the wall, and the greatest waiters, just the nicest guys. And I'll tell you what, man, I got no problem tipping 20%, 25%, 30%. If the service is fantastic, if the people make you feel like, God, I've just walked into the greatest restaurant in the world, man, I love to reward the service, don't you?
I think Frank loves that. I'm a little cheaper that way. I expect a certain level of treatment. I think that... The beginning is good service in terms of the food. Whatever happened to the courtesy bow? Whatever happened to keeping your eyes averted? These are some of the touches that I enjoy. I don't know if St. Elmo's. I know that Verve's in Beverly Hills. I know that the Swan in Phoenix.
What is this?
What are you talking about?
Phil, don't scrunch your face up again. When they avert their eyes from yours, if you look directly at a waiter, he should cast his eyes to the ground or look away. The better waiters will put their hand up and look away almost as if It's a bright ray of sunshine. You've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this in my entire life.
Well, this is only... These are some of the better waiters. I don't know. It's very old school.
No, it's not old school. No. They will bow at the waist, put their hand up as if there's a bright beam of sunshine burning their eyeballs, and they'll look away and say, "Good evening, ma'am."
I've never heard of anything like that before in my life.
Well, Phil, don't talk about it like it's a disease. Your guy never heard of anything.
Yeah, well, that sounds kind of weird, man. I would never do that.
Well, then you'd be fired.
I wouldn't do it either. That sounds like you're a slave.
Then you'd be fired, too. Anybody else?
Who would want to do something like that?
Someone that wants a good tip.
All right. That's very interesting. So they avert their eyes.
Yes, they put their hand up as if to block the beams. I can't believe I'm having to explain this.
Phil, this is one of the old world, old school waiter. If you're just an old waiter, you do that.
Uh-huh.
Well, don't look at me like I'm you. So you think I'm mad, huh? You think my mind's coming undone?
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll discuss this further during the break. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And as I said, not only online at philhenryshow.com, but also tune in. We are now available through your TuneIn app. All you have to do is go to the App Store, download that sucker, and also on your desktop, go to our website. We've got a live stream of our show airing right now. Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico every night until 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Online on our website as well as at TuneIn. And we have been celebrating here the last couple of nights the fact that we are finally available to you, a live stream of our show on TuneIn. And that certainly does not in any way, shape, or form mitigate our grand and great appreciation for the radio stations we have, one of which is in the city of San Francisco, KNEW, where we have recently gone on the air. And that's also the home of the San Francisco Sketch Fest in its 21st year. And I'm going to be there on the 26th of January doing a little one-man performance for you. Just so you know, it's going to be a one-man performance without any bells and whistles. It will be much... what we do when we have our fans, you know, at a lot of different events. You know, when we did the podcast, the pod, what was it called? The Pod Fest, right?
Well, yeah, it's called the Podorama.
It wasn't the Podorama. It was the Pod Fest.
The Podathon.
It wasn't Podathon. Anyway, we did the Pod Fest. Bobby Dooley was there, and people wanted to meet Ted Bell, and they wanted to meet Steve Bozell, and they wanted to meet Margaret. They wanted to meet you.
Yes, you told me that all of the fans came out and wanted to meet everybody, not just Bobby.
Exactly.
And I think I don't know why I'm smiling, but I think that it makes me feel better, because I realized then and there that Bobby having her own podcast.
Her podcast
was good, but they wasn't going to fulfill the real need, which was to talk to, and I say this with great humility, but to talk with me and with others, but I think mostly with me. So I know that is she on hold?
We got Bobby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that before she gets on the air, because Bobby, as much as I really love and appreciate her, she does tend to dominate, and I think you know what I mean, darling. I'm not trying to put you down at all.
Well, no, you're not trying to put me down, but you say that I'm dominating.
Yes, I do. You dominate the conversation.
Well, I just had a very, traumatic holiday.
And again, the drama that you're introducing now is what?
May I say what I want to say, because I've listened to you. And I had a very traumatic holiday.
Well, all right, I've said what I've said.
All right, so we've heard what you had to say, Margaret, which was Bobby tends to dominate. What happened, Bobby?
Thank you, Phil. I had Steve's family here from Hudson, Wisconsin. They were here, as is the Dooley tradition. They were here from the 17th of December, and they left on January 2nd. I love my husband, Steve. The Dooleys are wonderful people. There's also the Laboons. The Laboons are Steve's mother's sister, his aunts, and his uncles. The Laboons were here for most of that period of time. The Dooleys generally will be here for a week, and then they'll either get an embassy suite or stay over at the Marriott or one of the hotels. But the Laboons stayed here and stayed here rather recklessly, I think. They inhabited the home and did so in a flourish of smells and sights and sounds that I know I won't soon forget.
All right, the Laboons.
This is your husband's who?
This is Steve's aunt and uncle on his mother's side.
All right, and what can you be when you said a flourish of sights and sounds and smells that you won't soon forget? Can you tell us?
It's a little traumatic, but I will. Unflushed toilets.
Oh, my God.
Unflushed toilets. Food left on countertops. Food in beds. Food that has been stepped on and has not been picked up, but has been stepped on and walked on and stepped on and walked on until it is smeared into our carpeting. And takes a carpet cleaner to, and something that I've never seen before, people that have spit onto the ceiling as a competition. This was engaged in.
Wait. Spitting on the ceiling.
What is that about?
It's a competition between the men in the Laboon clan to see who can hit the ceiling. This was in the bedrooms. Until the 2nd of January arrived, because I'd given my word to Steve that they could stay until the 2nd of January. When the 2nd of January arrived, I went into our garage. God forgive
me. We're with you.
Darling, I know I've criticized you, but we're here for you.
Thank you. I went into our garage. I emptied one of the Clorox bottles that I had in there out. I filled it with gasoline.
Good God.
I put a rag in it. I held a lighter. And I went into our home. And I stood before Steve's aunt and uncle and his cousins. And I said, if you people are not out of my home, I'll burn you all alive. And I'll take the consequences later. I said, get out, get out, get out. And then I collapsed. I don't remember anything else.
Tell me you didn't light that.
No, I didn't.
Well, I can understand being pushed to the edge like that.
There were empty beer bottles. There were empties everywhere. Empties in the garbage cans. I found empties in the bedrooms. I found empties in near our pool. I just went into the garage. I emptied it out. I filled it full of some gasoline that Steve had purchased for the lawnmowers. I put a rag into it. I said, don't for a minute think I don't know what I'm doing, because I do. I said, I threw one of these into a parked car, and you should have seen them, and I used the N-word. I said, you should have seen them N-word scramble.
Was that, what are you talking about?
When my boyfriend and some of his friends had gotten into my dad's car, and I couldn't get them out.
Oh, so these were just a boyfriend?
Yes.
Tell me you didn't light that Molotov then.
No, I didn't.
What did Steve say?
Steve's right here.
Yeah, Mr. Senator, I understand about it. And I gave a statement to my wife after she'd done it, and I gave a statement to her.
And Steve gave me a statement. He said, I support you in all that you do. I love my mother, and I love my aunt and my uncle, but you do what you had to do. Signed, Steve Dooley.
Yeah, I support everything about it.
So you supported your wife as she stood there with a Molotov cocktail ready to light it and burn your home to the ground?
Yes, sir, because of the empties and the smeared in, and apparently there was mac and cheese that got smeared
All right. Hold the line here.
That is wild. Oh, thank God I wasn't there.
Yeah, you imagine that, man? What if she would have littered it?
I'll tell you now, that is nothing to laugh at.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. That's about as wow. I don't know what to say about that. We're going to be right back here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley as they continue talking about the holidays just passed. Ms. Dooley apparently so distraught with her slovenly relatives that she threatened to light a Molotov cocktail and burn them all alive. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I got this St. Elmo's on the brain now.
Well, you've been fooling around looking at that thing, haven't you?
I have. We have the St. Elmo Steakhouse. See, that's the Phil Henry Show. We're not getting paid by these businesses. I just pick out a business that I like, and I talk about it. And I don't think we've obsessed over...
Well, it's a very worthy place, Phil. St. Elmo Steakhouse is a... long-standing institution in Indianapolis and in the Midwest.
Yeah, but the thing that was amazing for me was the luck that I had in finding the place. I mean, it was just, I wasn't even going to stop in Indianapolis. I was going to blow on through to I don't know where the hell, you know.
Well, what's the next place you'll blow through to? Indianapolis, the next stop would be Louisville, wouldn't it?
Yes, you're right, General. If you're going from Minneapolis through Chicago down to Miami, you're going down, I forget the interstate, but you're going through Gary. You go down to Indianapolis. You hit Kentucky. You roll on through the Blue Hills of Kentucky to Indianapolis, to Louisville, and then you go from Louisville to Chattanooga.
But what about Nashville?
Oh, Nashville, I forgot. Yeah, Nashville you hit.
Well, there's bound to be some good steakhouses and meat... And particularly the chop places in Nashville.
Chop place? I don't know.
What do you mean chop places?
Talk about pork chop and everything?
I'm talking pork, lamb, anything that they I don't know.
Have you ever been to Nashville?
I've never been.
Well, it's a great city, I'll tell you that. It's a fantastic city. And Vanderbilt University is there. It's tremendous. And now Louisville, I've never stopped in. I've blown through Louisville a number of times. That looks like an interesting city.
Well, Louisville is the home of the Kentucky Derby and the bluegrass, you know.
That's a music.
Well, it's music, but also the horses are raised on the bluegrass. Are they not?
I don't know. Is there bluegrass?
We're going to talk about bluegrass.
That's the grass that they grow in Kentucky.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's bluegrass or if it's...
No, bluegrass was the music, too.
Yes, it's music, but there's also there's some kind of grass that makes the horses go fast. I don't know.
No, I don't think there's any grass that makes horses. It's the culture of the city and the culture of the area that horses were raised, and thoroughbreds were raised there, and racing became a part of the local culture. I don't know that the grass is any more...
Well, it's better to have a kind of grass that make a horse go fast.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think there's any grass they grow there that makes a horse go fast.
Phil, I want to ask you a question. Could I?
You know, because...
No, yeah, but I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Why do you have to be contentious with every GD point that I make?
Margaret...
No, why do you have to do that?
You do that, Mr. Henry, when Margaret tries to make a point.
Because what Margaret says sometimes...
Not sometimes, every time.
No, I do not disagree with everything you say. What do you mean they got bluegrass that makes the horses go faster?
I don't know. It stands to reason.
Why? Because there's a lot of horses that come out of Kentucky. There's a lot of horses that come out of California and Florida, too. And now there's a lot of horses that come out of New York.
New York City. There's a hot one.
Yeah, right.
New York State. The state, okay, where there's grass and fields. Not New York City.
Well, it all sounds pretty far out to me.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. But, that's the facts, Jack. So, yeah, Louisville. And then beyond Louisville is Chattanooga.
Now, here's an interesting point, ladies and gentlemen, and I think Phil Henry should be very honest with you about this. You went to the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Woo!
You did, didn't you?
Yeah. So what?
I'm sure. Would you go choo choo? Yeah, and pretend like you're the engineer?
What is it with you guys? Is that some kind of an embarrassing thing?
Well, I mean, wasn't there anything else to do, Phil?
Frankly, no. To be honest with you, but I'm sitting in the hotel, and the guy said that's the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah, what's up, Mr. Yo? I'm in the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, gee, is that the Chattanooga Choo Choo, sir? Did you get the brochure?
Are you telling me that if you were in Chattanooga and there was the Chattanooga Choo Choo, you wouldn't go over and at least look at it?
I'd rather not.
The first thing I'd do is look for a place to A, go to the bathroom and get a drink. Jesus.
Hey, give me five.
Yeah, let's
get out of here. Give me five.
Well, did you?
I don't know. I might have had a drink, but the guy said, there's the Chattanooga Choo-Choo. I go, oh, yeah, really? So I walked down and I looked at it.
Man, I don't know, Mr. And the first thing I'd do is go to the bathroom and get a drink. I'm a general.
Yeah, give me five on that. Yeah.
Would you guys knock off with a give me five? Well, I didn't, okay? I went and I looked at it. I'm kind of a, call me a square if you want, but that's what I did.
Are you the kind of guy that if you went to Europe, you'd want to go look at a castle?
Yeah, I bet you are, Phil, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm that kind of a guy.
Boy, I'll tell you something, Phil. When you were born, there was the corn cob right in the ear.
Yeah, no doubt about that, man.
You know, you guys think you're so hip, but there's a lot of things to see in this world, and not all of them are the approved stops on the tourist, whatever the hell it is, you know?
On the tourist, whatever the hell it is.
Here's one that'll shock you. When I went to China, do you know what I did? I actually went to the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, everybody do that.
Oh, would they really? I see all of that cornball stuff.
You tell me you go see a castle, huh?
Yeah, I'd go see a castle. Who the hell wouldn't go see a castle?
Let me tell you something, Phil. The first thing I do...
I know, it's get a drink.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You know, I'd rather go and see stuff than sit on my ass in a bar and suck down booze, man. The only time that I'm going to be sitting drinking is if I'm on a cruise ship and there's nowhere else to go but to the bar. Sit there in a bar. You go. If you're on a cruise ship, that's a great excuse to just sit there and get hammered, man, because there's nothing else to do.
Well, I don't know. When I was on the cruise, Frank and I took the Danube cruise. And, oh, my God, it was absolutely glorious. The Danube River. Do you know the Danube River?
Yeah, sure.
What's that?
It's the river that runs through Austria, the Danube River. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Does it ring a bell?
No, I can't.
What is that?
That's the Danube Waltz. That's the Danube Waltz.
I thought that was the Strauss Waltz, the Richard Strauss Waltz.
It's the Dan... If I say it's the Danube...
All right, it's the Danube Waltz. That's fine.
And we were on the beautiful Danube River, and I said, Frank, would you look at the beauty of this place? And he said, darling, it's all for you. And that's when he goes and he has a cocktail and then takes a nap, and only then. But he must be on deck with me, do, 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 do. And then later that evening, we went and we sat at the captain's table. And I said to the captain, I want you to know this. I said, Captain, I've taken many cruises, and I have to be honest with you, I don't like the way you are steering the ship. It feels as if it's going back and forth in the river. You look slovenly. And we shook hands, and he went back to his quarters and changed. Go to hell.
Oh, hey, Margaret, come on.
No, I will not.
Why'd you laugh at her?
You gotta be kidding. Why did I laugh at her? Are you kidding?
Well, it doesn't seem kind of weird.
Well, what are you laughing at the woman for?
She's sitting at the captain's table. Hey, Captain, I hope you don't mind, but you're steering the ship kind of weird, and you look slovenly. That's beautiful, man.
So you do approve?
I'm laughing. And she has to leave because she's embarrassed. I tell you what, Margaret, only on this show would they put up with that crap. I can't believe that one.
People don't do that?
Hell no, people don't do that. Are you kidding me, man? You're sitting there with the cat. I've never been on a cruise. I've been on two cruises, man, when we took the kids down to the Caribbean. That's it. But if you're going to sit at the captain's table, aren't you supposed to be all polite and crap?
I don't know.
That's what I thought, man. Here's a really sad story. The 24-year-old grandson of the founder of the Vail Mountain Ski Resort was killed and three others suffered minor injuries on Tuesday when a huge avalanche swept down a mountain outside the resort. Man, this snow, man, a lot of snow falling, and this is a fatality. I was talking about, this terrible storm that has been sweeping across the country. Have there been many fatalities, and I think we had, I got some news last night, there have been 14 that Layla, who was our good friend on the Facebook Phil fan page, she said 14, which is 14 too many, you know, but that's not a terribly traumatic number given the severity of this weather. And then you have this. This is a young man, a 24-year-old young man, is a skier, and he's the grandson of the guy that founded the Vail Ski Resort, Tony Siebert. He's the grandson of Vail founder Pete Siebert. He died in the avalanche at 11:30 in the morning today, at local time, in an area known as East Vail Chutes that lies just outside the boundary of the resort, according to the Eagle County Coroner there. She said the cause of death would be determined in an autopsy. Three other people who were skiing or snowboarding in the same area were also caught in the wave of snow and were treated for minor injuries, man. What happens in an avalanche? I imagine you just get pushed down the mountain and you run into something. Maybe in some cases people are buried and they have no access to air. I don't know. We'll be right back here. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, giving you all the news, good, bad, and like in between. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and now on TuneIn. Find us, the Phil Henry Channel, on TuneIn. To the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com or on TuneIn as well. And we broadcast every night from the El Pacifico out here on the furthest western edge of this thing on the West Coast till 10 o'clock. And we broadcast till 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, welcome to everybody listening to us on TuneIn. Very excited. On Thursday and Friday, we will be shooting an episode of Marin with the great Mark Marin, who is the host of the single most popular podcast out there, I think, along with, you know, Adam Carolla's got a popular one, Chris Hardwick, The Nerdist, and the Mark Marin WTF podcast. Huge, man. And he's now doing the second season of his show on IFC. So from the set there, I'm going to try and do some blogging and keep you guys up to date on, you know, how the day is going. You can follow along on our website, philhenryshow.com, to see just exactly, you know, what's up with us. So as I was saying, it's National Meat Month, and I didn't really get through a whole lot of this, you know.
Well, are you going to be talking about food, for God's sake?
Yes, I'm talking about food. I'm talking about meat, you know.
And this is what the old lady wanted to take Ted Bell down about, and here you are, just meat, 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 meat.
Yeah, you know what? And old lady, if you're listening, go ahead and sue me. The average American, now get a load of this, is just meat facts, you know. As I said, Ted is going to start in with meat moments, which we will be featuring on our website, as well as on the Sideshow Network. Over 52 billion pounds of meat consumed in America, for an average of 270.7 pounds consumed per person. Now, we figured out that maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 3/4 of a pound a day. And 3/4 of a pound a day is 3/4 pounders, if you want.
Yeah, well, Nicky said that they put stuff in the meat.
Yeah, they put chemicals in the meat to make you want to have it more.
I don't appreciate what he's saying. What are you saying?
They say they put chemicals in the meat for you to want it.
I don't like that at all.
No, he's saying that the word is they're putting something in the meat to make you crave eating more hamburgers.
Well, then have him say that, please, and not makes you want it, makes you want the meat.
Margaret, you know, not everything is some filthy, dirty, dirty little story in a dirty little paperback.
Well,
you know, everything with you is a dirty little paperback story.
When I grew up, there was a lot of dirty, filthy little paperbacks that we'd sneak looks at the drugstore. And...
do you miss those days?
I ought to slap your filthy face for that. You know that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I should reach across and just slap your filthy face. Do I miss those days? Yes, I miss being a young woman and going into the drugstore and the filthy, dirty little paperbacks... the lesbian...
yeah, you...
don't say it, bud. Don't say it. Because your mother may never see you again.
I bet you liked it.
All right.
Hey, hey, what? Watch it.
One of these days, Phil's not going to be here to stop me.
Bet you liked it.
Shut up, bud. For readers in South Florida, this is from a South Florida magazine, a South Florida Examiner, actually. For readers in South Florida, this works out especially well, considering that the South Florida Fair is running right now from the 18th of January to the 3rd of February. You can sample meaty favorites ranging from steak on a stick to maggot burgers. What is that?
Well, now, isn't that appetizing?
Meat is a tradition for many people, as well as a great source of numerous vitamins, minerals, and protein, says Ryan Fichter, executive chef at the Bodega Spanish Tapas and Lounge and Thunder Burger and Bar. Oh, yeah. Most people tend to stick to eating beef, pork, chicken, turkey, and fish. This month, though, it being National Meat Month, if it's National Meat Month, does that count for fish, too?
No, it doesn't count for fish. It would be National Fish. I don't think the fish has anything to do with it.
Fish is meat.
No, it is not meat. It's fish.
Wait a minute. That's ridiculous. Of course it's meat.
How do you figure that fish is meat when meat is a cow and a fish? You know, you're going to really piss me off. What are you talking about?
General, just because when I was... You were Catholic, right?
I still am, thank you very much. Not like you.
All right. You think that because on meatless Fridays, as Catholics, we had fish, that means that fish ain't meat?
If that's what God intended, yes.
Well, I don't know that God... All right, yes, you're right. God intended that. But I'm saying, how can you reasonably say that fish is not meat? It's meat.
General, fish is meat. It's the meat of the fish.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Is an artichoke meat?
Of course an artichoke is not meat.
And yet they say there's the meaty part of the artichoke. Ah, and the meat and the what? And the meaty part of the.
Got the meaty part.
Why are you smiling at me? I don't like it when he smiles at me and we're talking about meat.
All right, take it easy. Host a potluck. Well, here's what they suggest. Try a sampler. Most people like beef, pork, chicken, turkey, and fish. This month, vow to expand your culinary horizons by trying something new, such as a buffalo or ostrich burger. Have you ever had that?
I don't think I ever have, no.
I've had both.
What it tastes like, Miss Ernie?
They tasted delicious. Ostrich burgers I had. There's an ostrich burger place up near the University of California, Davis, UC Davis, up, near Sacramento. And then if you get off the freeway here, I'm talking about here in California, if you guys travel to California and you go north of L.A., there's a town called Solvang. Yeah, you get off the freeway on your way to Solvang, there's a huge ostrich farm, right?
No, that's those are emus.
Well, what's the difference, for God's sake? It's they're on one leg, aren't they?
They're what?
What do you mean one leg?
I'm talking about those birds that walk around on one leg. Isn't that a one-legged bird?
No, you talk about a flamingo. And a flamingo is not meaty.
The flamingo, all right.
Yeah.
Well, the flamingo ain't got a lot of meat on it.
We're not talking about how meaty a flamingo is, all right?
Yeah, you ever had a flamingo?
No, I've never had a flamingo. I don't think anybody has.
If I ever catch you eating a flamingo, I swear to God, Bud, I'll kill you and I'll take my consequences. The flamingo is the most beautiful animal there is. If I ever saw you sitting down to flamingo wings.
God, I don't think anybody's going to be eating flamingo.
Well, if I ever see him sitting down to hot flamingo wings, and I'm not trying to be funny. See, look at him laughing.
What are you talking about?
Hot flamingo wings.
It's a beautiful animal, and I'll have none of it.
All right, so no one's going to eat. I wouldn't eat flamingo if it was the last thing. Are you kidding?
And yet you eat ostrich. Very interesting.
I'll eat ostrich because an ostrich seems like it's a big, dumb, fat bird. Yeah, sure. Flamingo, I don't know, man. I draw the line at flamingo. That's like eating pigeon or something. I don't know.
Why do you say that?
Because flamingos look like they're probably scavenger, nasty birds. Aren't they standing all that filthy water, eating all that crap? I don't know.
God, man, now I don't want to have no flamingo.
Good.
All right. Host a potluck. Host a potluck that is focused on everyone's favorite meat dishes. This will get everyone Bud, she gets angry when you look at her and you laugh and smile.
No, I saw him doing that.
I just see how she's going to react.
You know, you're really a child. You're really, after all the stuff that's been going on in this show, and there you are going, hee hee hee. Hosting a potluck that is focusing on everyone's favorite meat dishes, this will give everyone the opportunity to sample different types of recipes. Have the guests bring a card that has the recipe on it for those who would like to serve the dish at home. What?
I think you go out, you bring it like a card with a recipe, and then you make them eat it.
Yeah.
You make them eat it.
As part of the party.
So what do you mean you make them eat it?
You cook the dish, and then you pull the card out of a hat, and you go, oh, you just got flamingo. You just got roast flamingo. Go ahead, have yourself a good time with that.
And you make them eat it.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to eat it if you pull it out of the hat.
Oh, get out of here. I've never heard of any kind of a game like that. All right, we have to take a 24-hour break now. A 24-hour break here from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's been a great pleasure to be with you guys here. Our second night on TuneIn, man. You know.
What are you saying about the boiled flamingo or whatever? I
didn't say anything about boiled flamingo. I'm asking you, what do you mean forcing them to eat it?
The guy pulls a card out of a hat for boiled flamingo wing.
I've never heard of any party like that before in my life.
I think it's common in Miami.
Oh, I see. So what we do is we come to Miami's, these parties in Miami, with a card, a recipe on how to boil flamingo, and we make them eat it.
Phil, that's not the first time you use that phrase, so you should be very comfortable with it. Thank you.
Boy, you're sick. Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow night.